welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studios for conversations about presentation design, strategies, tips and tricks, running a design studio, and more, all for presentation designers, managers, and presenters. Here are your hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy with TLC Creative Services, based in Southern California near San Diego.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Well, everyone, second episode of 2017. It's great to have us together again, talk about some presentation design stuff. How's everybody doing? What's happening in the, what's in the works?
Well, I spent last week and into this week serving as my own IT manager, fixing just about everything that could go wrong digitally in my life, from from my cell phone to VoIP to email, which went down for a day, to my website, which migrating that to a new host, which I'm still having issues with. So hopefully in a day or two, I'm able to take the IT hat off and get back to real work. I've got a couple days of speech coaching coming up for a client, which I really like. I do it with a partner, and we really focus on presenting two slides, which I think a lot of speech coaches sort of sidestep a little bit. And we do the whole normal sort of speech coaching things, but with a focus on using slides.
And sorry about the IT stuff. That's the worst.
I don't know how you do it. I cannot do my own IT. Well, I'm still thawing out from waiting in line to get into the Packer game yesterday. That was fun. but from a work standpoint, I continue to work on conference support, speaker readiness for a small January event, and then a large one that's going to be happening in May. And I have several presentations for clients, training presentations. I'm creating their training presentations. And of course, I continue to work on templates.
Awesome. You are freezing. It's raining in Southern California, and it's actually not really that cold. We have a thing called the Pineapple Express.
I've heard of that weather pattern.
Yeah, it just means warm tropical air from, instead of coming down from like Canada and you, Sandy, and Green Bay, it's actually coming to us from off the ocean and from Hawaii. So it's kind of more of a tropical thing. So it's causing a lot of problems. Actually, they say the snow levels are going to drop. It's going to be raining and melt off all the snow that we need as water sources for the rest of the year. But I'm not really complaining because Southern California needs a lot of rain.
Yes,
it's looking really green. I mean, where you two live, it's all dead and brown and covered with white. Hopefully for beauty. This is the time of year where Southern California actually gets green and lush because the temperatures aren't so hot and it's actually got water. So we have all of our hillsides are green and. So it's kind of funny. But it also forced me to stay inside and get a lot of work done, which is kind of needed after this holiday break. And then the first week of January, I pretty much got home from our ski vacation and then headed out the door the very next day to do a great event out in Phoenix with a company. And I mean, we have a lot of presentation clients. And
are your Januaries slow or fast?
Oh, no.
They're packed?
We're packed.
It's funny. My Januaries are usually slow, and then February explodes. I don't know why that is. Somebody else was just telling me January is crazy, and then February slows down.
I remember when August used to be my slow month.
August used to be?
Yes, but it doesn't happen anymore.
What, do you have lots of clients who are psychiatrists?
Yeah,
isn't that the stereotype that they always take all of August off?
Oh, I didn't know that. Perhaps.
Oh, I think that's a thing.
It is, actually, but yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
No, January is really, really busy for us because all the companies are, there's a lot of corporate meetings that happen. Not as much happen in November and December. We have nine meetings on the books for this month alone that we're supporting, like going on site in addition to all the other work we do. So we do a lot of pre-production work. That's probably one of the more exciting ones we have going is talking about stuff. We have this pre-production job where a production company called us. We're not going to the meeting, but they said, hey, we've worked together a lot. They said, we're going to run a 60-foot LED wall, 60 feet wide, and we just need somebody to do all the cool design work. So we get to do all the scenic changes, if you will, all the scenic backgrounds for each of the subdivisions. And then there's 16x9 PIP areas, and there's an IMAG window. So we get to design around all this stuff. And that's really fun because we are working totally in PowerPoint because they do all the scene changes in PowerPoint, but we're doing a lot of Photoshop, a lot of video editing, and we get to put it together. It's a really fun thing. But again, that's another reason January is busy is because we actually couldn't go to this meeting because they asked us to. We're all of our travel staff is booked. We're just done. They said, hey, you know, this, I think this meeting is the first week of January, first week of February. So they're like, hey, could you do all the scene, you know, all the development, content development, presentation makeovers, custom templates, and then all the ultra wide stuff. So, and those are fun projects. So yeah, I guess that's something happening with us. We're doing that nice. One among all the other stuff. Yeah. Oh yeah. We're playing busy.
Well, I have some news. If we can move on to new industry.
Yeah, what's going on?
The presentation world.
Well, the Presentation Guild, I bring them up often in our podcast, recently launched their benchmark salary survey report.
I participated.
Awesome. It, you know, overall, we got a pretty good response. We hope to expand beyond the United States next year. But what happened was in August and September, the Presentation Guild conducted the first of its kind salary survey. We asked 18 questions to benchmark the compensation characteristics of the average presentationist. And that's what we call experts in our industry. So if you want to find out average annual salary, the average hours worked in a week, demographics, education, if you want to figure out how you compare to the industry, I would say go onto the Guild website and get your copy. It's free to Guild members.
Yay.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll look forward to it. Is it available now?
Not yet. Well, yes. When this podcast comes out, it's actually going to be launched on the 10th.
Okay, good, because I didn't get any notice about it.
No, you did not.
Okay. And what if somebody's not a Guild member? Can they get it?
If they're not a Guild member, but they participated in the survey, they get it for free if they opted in. However, they may purchase it for $59. But at that price, I would say just add on $40 more.
Oh, yeah.
Become a member.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Hey.
I'm not on the board or anything with the Guild, but hey, the number of webinars and stuff that are already on the docket and being put on are worth it in and of itself. They're they're fantastic. I really are. I'm actually looking forward to seeing the survey, and hopefully, I'm sure the number of answers input you got this year, or I guess it would be last year, is hopefully it'd be like it'll just grow. I think
we had to start somewhere, and this is that's why we're calling it benchmark, and we're already in the works for creating a even better survey and report next year.
Nice.
That's cool.
Hopefully a lot of staffing agencies would be interested in that as well.
Can I just put a link to the Presentation Guild and say survey results are available here, annual survey?
Yes.
I'll put something. Yes. Okay, I think it'd be good. I think I'm really excited to see it. So
cool.
I'll wait a few days and download it. PowerPoint for many generations of the software has had great features for adding animation to static content. And PowerPoint presentations are really known for animation. Some of it amazing, and some of it amazing that somebody would actually do that to their audience. So it's all in there. Hey, animation is used by everyone as well. I mean, elementary age students are using PowerPoint and adding animation. Corporate admins and all levels of corporate users are adding animation, and professional presentation designers are adding animation. I think that this range says a lot about the functional design of PowerPoint as an application. So today, we as a group are talking about the good use of animation, some of our favorite animation effects, and where we hope to see PowerPoint move forward with some of the animation capabilities in the upcoming future.
All right, first off, I'd love to know just how much animation everyone does on an average presentation. Are you constantly animating? Is it occasional? What are you doing?
Well, what do? You're starting it.
I do very little, actually. I mean, I used to do like really involved animations when, you know, we were doing network upfronts and things like that years ago. But over the years, you know, I've simplified things and I've just sort of pulled a lot of that back. Basically, it comes down, you know, today for me, will an animation help tell the story or not? And if it does, for example, you know, bring in bullet points one by one, or, you know, animating something, you know, a graphic from the left side to the right side, like, then great. But if it's just gratuitous, if it's just decorative, if it's just cool, I'm not going to do it. So more often than not, I'm not using a whole lot of animation.
And I'm with Nolan. Unless I'm creating a self-running presentation where animation is needed to deliver the content at a pace to keep the viewer involved with the presentation, animation can be, as you put it, gratuitous.
I haven't used that word, but I could agree. So I think everybody will identify. I use animation a lot. But, you know, it depends on the project. We do hundreds of medical content slides literally each week, and they have virtually no animation. We're just making sure the content is consistent, professional, legible. You know, animation isn't even a factor in those projects. But then we work on these fantastic live shows, things like auto show press events, corporate CEO addresses to their national sales meeting up front. Lots of award shows, just did one last week. And, you know, there's a lot of animation. I will have a note about that award show as well. Hold on to that thought. I just thought of something really cool about this. But all of these, you know, these type of meetings, they kind of have a Hollywood premiere feel and expectation. So we invest, I mean, I invest hours into the animated content to make them full of motion and visual effects that kind of seamlessly carry out throughout the entire deck. And I think that's a big thing about animation. So not to say it's gratuitous, but it goes with the level of presentation. And it's not animation for animation's sake. It's creating an atmosphere in a lot of these. So
yeah, yes. I mean, I completely agree with you on that. Like, I used to do more of those types of shows that are more entertainment, more presentational, and it totally makes sense there. If you're in a conference room, you know, that's a different situation. That's
right. It totally varies. So yeah, and you know, I will say we've been working with somebody on a state board of education for one of the states, and they have tables upon tables of data, and tables don't animate. This is probably something we should talk about. We talk about bugs. I think it's a huge missing point that tables don't animate. We were actually brought in not only to just, hey, take all this content, massive amounts of data, make it consistent, you know, so it just flows, but they needed to animate their tables and they just didn't know how. So we've been animating tables for like weeks now. And it's just so that they can, and it's somebody that understands presentation. They're like, I need to lead the audience. In this case, I'm assuming it has to do with the education board or something. You know, I need to lead them through the data instead of just overwhelming them. And then they give a printout at the end. Like, here it is, all the data. So it's, you know, so in
how
that
did you
context.
Do it? I know, kind of an aside, but I'm curious to know how you animated the tables.
First thing we had to do was come up with how the tables look. And it's very, very simple, straightforward, kind of like what you'd expect from an education entity. It's just table data. So the first thing we did was we made sure that the tables were all the same width, same position, so that only the height of them fluctuated. So from a visual standpoint, when you're going through the presentation, you don't see things jumping around.
Right.
So that was item number one. The animating it part, we actually settled on we did a box cover-ups and we used fill with background. So there is a nice little subtle texture to the backgrounds. But we also clarified up front that these were only going to be printed in black and white, which is a very key point for us because we got to create this nice visual with, say, a little bit of a color and textured background. If we knew they were printing it in color, we would just go with a standard white background. But they wanted something a little bit more, and it's mainly based on it's not like a school color theme. I guess it's the state's color theme. But what we did is we did each animation is a fade out of each box.
Sure.
Now, here's the key though. In black and white view, we can right click and say that those things are not visible during printouts.
Right.
So they can do their printouts without having a secondary set. Now, if we could do that with color elements,
oh my gosh,
immeasurably, I just really don't think anybody at Microsoft understands the need for that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we did very simple. They're boxes. They're set with the fill background so that they seamlessly, you know, we can move the same box around. It looks really cool. And then we just do fade offs. On click, fade. And they don't have to go in set order because sometimes they do comparisons. And here's where it got really confusing is we want to compare the first five rows in this data set, but then we want to jump down and show rows number 10 and 11 because of the performance factor and have a discussion about those particular, I guess, schools. And then we want to fill in the rest. So, you know, the animation requests were very specific depending on the content. It wasn't like, hey, I just need to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It was, I need to show 1 through 5 and then I need to jump down, show number 8. Well, this was an easy solution. And because of the print in black and white, we could come up with a solution that they could also print and proof, because proofing was a whole nother thing.
That's great. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. I just wanted to know if there was, you know, in the old days we could break it up and animate it piece by piece, but we can't do that anymore. So I was just wondering.
You can't break a table anymore?
No.
You can't? Oh. No, not since the jump to Excel.
I thought you could paste as an EMF and then break it apart.
Oh, yes, you could that way. But then you end up with every single
line.
Right. The 2019 becomes a number two text box, and then a comma becomes a text box. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Next topic.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about the newest thing, and let's talk about Morph, which, in my opinion, I think will give respect back to animation where it might have been lost, just because so many people did so many amazing things.
Yeah, I think you're going to see animation sort of make a return in an elegant way because of Morph. It probably goes back to what I was saying about animation. Only use it if it helps tell a story. I think we both heard from somebody at Microsoft that said it's almost impossible to use Morph gratuitously because if you are using it, you're actively using it to try to make a point. You're not just saying, oh, apply Morph because I want to see a wagon wheel or something. Like, you're actually dealing with specific content between slides, meaning, you know, in this part of the story, I want this thing to be here, but in the next part, I want it to show that it grows or it does such and such. So, I think we're going to see a lot of it used, and it's going to lead to less linear presentations as well, more Prezi-like, more, you're not always going to know next slide, next slide, next slide. Mm-hmm. That's what's actually happening.
That's a really good point I hadn't thought about, is that I'm really big on presentations not being, I personally am not for slide numbers on most presentations. I leave them in through the editing proofing part, so everybody has a reference point. Is that my phone?
That's yours.
Unbelievable.
Start again.
You know, that leads to something I hadn't really thought about, is that I'm really big on seamless presentations. You should not know when one slide happened and the next one left, and you shouldn't be able. And I'm not really big on slide numbers in corporate presentations that are presentations, not, hey, here's a report. Because, you know, when you get to number 32, people are like, oh my gosh, I've been seeing over 32. Or better yet is when you string together, you know, 9 presenters in a day, and the, you know, the 9th presenter's on slide 390, and people are like, oh my God, you know, it's his first slide, and people see the number 390 and they're like, this is boring. And like, the guy just started. So
it just tells you you're looking at PowerPoint or slides, whereas a lot of the stuff you do, and I love that you keep reminding us of this, you know, at these large events, at these large, you know, auto shows or whatever, you're seeing stuff on screen, and it most likely is PowerPoint. Doesn't look like it.
Right.
But it's simply visuals and video and graphics
speaker
and whatever.
Support.
And that's what it is. Speaker support. Right. Who cares what the tool is to the audience?
The biggest compliment we can get as presentationists is someone asking the question, what software tool is that?
Yeah. Was that PowerPoint?
Yeah.
That's always a good one for me. My
biggest compliment is, can I pay you double? It always happen, but sometimes.
Always about the money.
I don't get that one.
That's rare.
So wait. On Morph, here's my feeling about Morph. On the one hand, Morph feels like cheating. After all these years of having to do painstaking work in the animation pane to make effects. On the other hand, things like our TLC Christmas animation. My personal one, if you look at it, was 100% Morph. I think I used like 7 animations in it. Everything else was Morph, even though it's fully motion based. It's really, really was a cool exercise. And I really did it just to play with Morph more. But here's another thing. As I said in the upfront, I just realized I just did an award show last week. Part of the award show was there is a magic act in it. And it was a great magician. He totally integrated the corporate theme, this and that. But literally, I'm thinking, okay, magician, I'll put up his name. Then we'll go to the IMAG camera. I got nothing to do. You know, into the 5 minutes of the rehearsal, like, oh, you got to give him my slides. You know, so I obviously perk up. I'm like, whoa, wait, I wasn't paying attention. What? This magician actually had slides. Wow. He only had a few of them. And I get this little deck. And I'm like, okay, that's it. What's the deal? They're like, it does something when you play it. I'm like, okay. The magician actually used Morph to make this morph of content. So I won't give it away. But, you know, the first slide just had it had two words that was, you know, randomly picked from the audience. So, you know, it was one of those, boy, I'm really horrible explaining this, but the magician asked for a whole bunch of input and he's like, okay, let's use this word and they use this word and hey, there they are. So, you know, they appeared. So obviously the magician knew what he was looking for. He's like, but the real payoff was, he's like, but wait, if we do this, and he used morph to transition the words into the key phrase, which was hidden, you know, the person had signed to put in the envelope type of thing. Mm-hmm. It was really, really cool. I was like, this is crazy. A magician just used morph. First of all, a magician just used PowerPoint to reveal the answer, and they used morph. And during the rehearsal, it's like, you know, you're really lucky where, you know, this effect isn't, you know, this is morph. It's fairly new.
Yeah.
And his answer was brilliant. He's like, well, I just expected a professional company to have the latest software and would not have a problem with it. I was like, you are totally right. I have no problem with it. I was kind of like, I thought I was helping him say, you know, you got to be careful. Not everybody's going to have this. And
yeah, well, that was a compliment to you, Troy, but also the next company he works with isn't going to have
it.
Right.
Well, it was great. So anyways, yeah, I just did an award show that actually had animation, not only in the entrance. I did this really cool animated entrance with his name and this and that. But the magician used slides with morph.
That's nice. Crazy. But let's move on. You know, I have another transition tool that's not technically an animation, but it's becoming more and more popular, and that's the Zoom feature.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it doesn't look like animation. No, it looks like animation, but it's in the transition. Isn't it in the transition?
No, it's its own thing.
Yeah, it's its own thing in insert, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's insert. Yeah, so. That's where it is. You find it in insert. And it creates a morph-like effect when you're transitioning from one slide to the next.
It does. My confession is I haven't really explored Zoom all that much. I think, Troy, you probably have as well, mostly because it's not on the Mac yet. Hopefully this year we'll be getting it. But also, I think unlike Morph, where you can just sort of use it once between slides or the ultimate user doesn't really have to know what's going on, I think with Zoom, it's a little more involved, in which everybody using the deck really needs to understand how it's set up.
That's right.
Because it has more to do with sort of like table of contents. It can be used in a few different ways, but sort of like table of contents where you're able to jump from parts of the deck to other parts of the deck using the sort of zooming thumbnail type thing. I know I'm not explaining it very well either, but
no, that totally makes sense. It's exactly what it is. You click on a thumbnail and it magically takes you there, and it doesn't have to be the next slide.
And go ahead.
Oh no! So I mean, so it's a very powerful, very cool thing. But I think it does require a little more sort of structural decision making with your whole deck.
It does. It does. And I haven't been using it a lot either. So I just brought it up as a new thing for PowerPoint. I haven't been using it because of backward compatibility concerns.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
So instead, I find myself still creating custom shows. I do create that table of contents menu. As a matter of fact, recently I did that. It was an interactive presentation, and you know how Morph gives you those thumbnails of the slides that you're going to? I took screenshots and created thumbnails and actually made it look like a Zoom.
Oh, very cool. You kind of cheated it.
I did cheat it. It was the old-fashioned custom shows.
Okay, so everybody listening in, here's what Zoom is. Zoom is, again, like cheating. It's custom shows without having to know how to set up custom shows. It kind of does it all. And what it does, it's a combination of custom shows, which are totally recoded. It's a whole new way of, it's the same custom show effects we had before, but it's just totally brand new coding. But it's also, it's a combination of custom shows, and it's a combination of morph transitions. So to get to each custom show, it uses a morph, and it has a lot of really cool features in it. So Nolan, I have a really good example of using Zoom where it makes total sense and you don't have to explain it to people. So what I've done a couple of times, this is for sales decks, they have four television commercials. And they, you know, they're talking to their audience and they, you know, they want to decide which commercial is. I just have a slide with the four videos on it, and they're set up as the four following slides are actually hidden. Each one has the video on it. So when they come to that slide, they say, hey, we're doing a lot of TVC or we're doing a lot of television commercial support behind this product. They have four thumbnails. They could click the next button and they would just jump past all the videos and keep talking. Or they could say, hey, let's take a look at one. They can move their mouse and pick any of the four they want. Click it. It does this really cool zoom up. It plays it. When it's done, it takes you right back to that slide. It's the show and return type of feature. So it's a really cool, intuitive way to use Zoom. And we used this fairly recently and it went over great. course, we had to make sure the sales team was on the latest version. Right. We had to make sure, you know, they understood. We have a little green note off to the side that just simply says, click any video you want to, click any commercial you want to play it. And
right.
it was intuitive. They've used it very nice. Happily.
Yeah, so I think we're going to be seeing more of Zoom stuff as well.
Okay, so going along the idea of new stuff. So we just talked about Morph being the coolest new animation that's really a transition. Zoom, which is really the coolest new nonlinear thing, which leverages Morph as an animation effect into it. What do you think about 3D animation that we've been kind of like tantalized with from Microsoft is saying here it's coming? Have you experimented with anything like that yet?
I haven't, but I've been researching it a lot. I think it's a great opportunity. I can't wait for it to come. But I would check out this demo by an individual who calls herself... I think it's PowerPoint Spice, but she goes by P Spice because she probably can't use PowerPoint legally. But it's a great example of where PowerPoint is going. And if I understand correctly, PowerPoint is only going to be supporting 3D file formats. It's not going to be a tool to create 3D, correct?
Not yet. No.
In the first generation, yeah, it's just going to be native support for a number of 3D file formats, which in and of itself is phenomenal. What we're talking about is this is true 3D elements. You know, when you go to the movie channel and they have their little logo, you know, teeter-tottering back and forth or spinning, PowerPoint's going to be able to support that 3D file format, and you can set it to be on a motion path so it'll go in a circle around for you. It's a little bit limited because, again, they're going to combine the morph transition with the 3D positioning to allow those things to happen. But I think it's going to greatly expand. In addition, you can actually use the 3D object right in PowerPoint, where before we do this quite often. We get a 3D object. We find the angle we want. We export it as a ping image. We're just putting in a ping image that was made in a 3D application. I got to say, I'm really excited about the future of this addition to PowerPoint. I've worked with 3D elements and animated elements for several years. The ability to natively use them in PowerPoint is going to literally revolutionize content creation, I believe. And I should mention, it's now a company that doesn't exist anymore, or at least what happens, they got bought and they're now a part of a bigger software package that's not used for the general public anymore. It's broadcast television stuff. But there was a company called Instant Effects Software. They made a program called Office Effects.
I remember that.
Office, letter F, letter X.
I never heard of them.
It was years ago. It had true, among its many, many features, it had true 3D content into presentations. And it was something that I leveraged on many, many projects. Very expensive software, definitely pro-level software package, and definitely not, you know, not for general users, but it was also not for the general computer. So this was one of the limitations that they're putting some huge processing, and they actually had when you went to install it, they had a pre-flight application that said your computer is validated for use of our software or not, and most were not. And then it also, when you went to run a show, it would say, we're sorry, we just ran a pre-flight. Your computer does not have the resources available to actually run this. So therefore, we're not going to let you make a fool of yourself type of thing. They've stopped offering it, but the capabilities of it were huge for these, for like large corporate clients to be available to do some very Hollywood effects stuff. I'm seeing that a lot of those capabilities coming soon to PowerPoint for everybody. It's going to be great. And again, it's the power of PowerPoint is that it can be leveraged. If one of us designs this great 3D element, it's just sitting on a slide with all the animation effects pre-built into it. Somebody can just copy and paste that into their presentation and boom, they look like they've got the most incredible thing going because they got to repurpose it. I really think that's one of the true strengths of it. I will end with saying I do see some amazing tchotchke presentations emerging from using 3D elements. Just going there that it's not going to all be beautiful.
And amazing, you're using amazing in the negative sense in this case.
Amazing is my go-to word when I don't know what to say about it.
That's funny.
Amazingly awful.
Yeah.
Well, so let's come down to the ground level and talk about basic animations. Do you have any favorite animation tools that you use? I'm talking fade, wipe.
I mean, fade is the safest, most professional effect you can always use. And it's again, PowerPoint does it really well. It's very easy to add it. It's very easy to set the duration of it. It's very easy to say what elements fade. I think the fact that you can take text boxes and control if it's the whole text box or each hard break or hard line return does its own fade. I mean, those type of tools have been in there forever, and they're really, really impressive. Because I come from a I moved to PowerPoint from a Flash design background, was doing a lot of that. And oh, is it really funny? The director animations, you know, it required a lot of work to get things just to fade on. There was a lot of action scripts involved to make things fade one after another. PowerPoint just kind of does it. So I think fade's probably the best, but you know, based on the content, you do get to move into more dynamic options. I really like one that's kind of now buried, and that's the basic zoom, and set it from out from bottom. So you know, you have the key picture come in after all the content there, and it literally just kind of zooms from very large to the bottom and just kind of slams onto the slide. I think that's a great dynamic.
I like
effect.
That. I've used that for slamming. Playing, literally, I created an animation of playing cards, and it was a great
slam. That'd be perfect.
On there. It was really nice.
Only for those key, big, bold elements. You wouldn't want every word in a paragraph coming out, because by then you're just doing amazing stuff.
And sometimes we'll layer animations, because some of the animations just might be, for example, the general zoom, I find is almost a little too jarring. So what you can do is you can add a fade to it. So you can layer sometimes, you know, 2, 3, even 4 animations. So instead of just a zoom, you add a fade to it, so it fades in and it zooms.
Right.
And if you wanted to, it could also move in, you know, from a certain point.
So you're saying like 2 animations with previous.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Right. At the same time. So not every animation you can layer, just because some are just not compatible, but some you definitely are. You know, you'd mentioned awards banquets before. Something we did a couple times was when you had to make a reveal, like at an awards banquet, of somebody's name or a photo, we will put it up blurred and then we'll animate it out to the unblurred photo. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a nice reveal. You can kind of put it up and say like, what name is this? And then it unblurs, which is kind of neat.
What you're calling layering animations, we call the exact same thing, just combining animations.
Combined
with, but just terminology, but that's awesome. And then the blur unblur, I'm just going to go there. I think Microsoft needs to make those animation or artistic effects animated. So you can just have one image and you just say, now animate off the blur instead of having to, because you're talking about, actually you take the photo,
two different photos, dupe it,
you'd use the PowerPoint blur, or you could do it in Photoshop, but you can actually do the PowerPoint blur, but you can't unblur it in an animation mode, which I think you should be able to. So you'd actually have to have, fade off one, right?
For those times you really want to go from crayon to watercolor.
Exactly.
Exactly. Amazing. No, I've got an amazing combination. Actually, it could be perceived as amazing, but it was, just consider it in context.
In a good way.
In a good way. No, I combined swivel and spin in the past to create an effect of a snowflake falling. It's perfect. It's combination of animation. But for the most part, I use fade in, fade out most often. It's the most elegant. Uh-huh. I used to use peek in most often. In the old days, it changed, and I've tried using rise up, but that's just another fly in entrance with another with a bounce at the end of it. The current peek in is like a wipe animation with a little bounce at the end. It's just totally ruined, so I'm sad about that.
You know, it has gotten better, but I will again give Keynote credit. I always thought Keynote's animations were more elegant. They were just softer. They felt more cinematic. And again, I think PowerPoint has gotten a little bit better, but anyway, do you agree, Troy?
I still think that Keynote's animations are, even though they haven't changed at all, they haven't really expanded their offerings in years, they definitely did it right off the bat. So Sandy, here's a really cool tip if you don't know it. The peek in that you're looking for, because everything about PowerPoint is a soft edge now, one thing.
Right.
And the peek in totally changed, because you used to be able, and it swivels, how would you make things? I can't think of the combination. Make it feel like a box swiveled around so you can see the backside.
Yes.
But anyways, there is legacy support still. So if you have a peek in from, say, PowerPoint 2003.
Find an old one and paste it in.
You can open it up. You can use the animation painter, and you basically add an animation to the new version. We have a deck of animations that are pre-built combinations, so you just pick them up and apply them. But we actually use the old peek in still, and I'm sure people at Microsoft cringe, like, that shouldn't be there. But it's legacy support.
I have to find that. That's awesome. I think you've mentioned that before, and I'm putting that on my to-do list.
It's just kind of, because the older version had so many nice feature. Just, it was a different visual.
So how about transitions. Okay, so we've kind of talked about this already, but transitions that are technically in animation.
Well, yeah, we talked about morph, which is technically a transition, but just other, like if we're not doing that, I would say about 95% of the time, I just use quick fade, you know, like quarter of a second even. It's funny, like over the years, I've been going down and down. Like I used to do like 1 second fades are nice. Then I was like half second fades. Now I'm just, you know, quarter second. But I still think it's better than no fade or just, you know, the hard, you know, change.
Jar.
Because when you're just going from slide to slide, like without anything, it seems like slide, next slide, next slide, like the carousel is changing. But just that little bit of fade just makes it a little bit more organic, I think, and helps people move together.
And as a note, those faster fades are necessary in a webinar environment. You cannot have the slow fade when you're on a WebEx.
Oh, on a webinar, I don't do any fades at all.
It's awful.
Somebody always feels like they're, you know, for somebody it's just kind of chunk, 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 chunk. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
It depends on.
In fact, I recently had to do, I was doing a couple webinars and I was using old slides and I had to kept going through and take off all the transitions. And not only that, but also take off all the internal animations, like if something appeared with a fade. And I was hoping, I was wishing for a button in PowerPoint that is like convert for webinar, in which we'll take all of those fades off and convert them all to just appears or disappears or whatever.
Oh, that's a good one.
That would be
tools,
really nice.
You know the tools too? Tools?
Yes, I was going to mention that.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't that do that?
Not really.
No, it doesn't, but that would be the tool that would do it if anyone did it.
Okay.
Tools too, they have a button on there that says remove all animations.
Yes.
It doesn't do transitions though, but you know what? That is a great idea just to say replace every animation with a quick fade.
I mean, it's easy enough to do it for transitions because you just select all slides and do it. But it's the internal animations you got to go through. And like every once in a while, like I missed one. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, like in the webinar, you see it like chugging along.
Try that Tools 2 add-in. I think it's $29. I can't remember what it is.
There
it's
is a, expensive. Sandy, this is the advanced, let's see, what's today? So when this releases, there is a new version coming out probably next week. The guy who developed Tools 2 sent a couple of us, I don't know if you're in on it, the beta of the new version. It actually adds some animation tools. We should talk about that later. So here's my deal on transitions being animations. In the old days, like 35 millimeter slide projector presentation old days, you know, I know nobody knows what those are, but they did exist. An animation was a visual effect of transitioning from literally one frame to another. So that was the only animation you had. I have always looked at transitions as part of the animation offering and used them in combination. So here's my example. We have one. Now what PowerPoint did is made it easy. You could take one slide and have four on-click wipes, or you could just make four slides with the content in the same place and just do them with the wipe transition.
I get it, yes.
And you could have the exact same visual for the audience. It's all for the audience. Sometimes it's easier to animate, sometimes it's easier to review or edit things that way. But I think transitions used in combination with animations is definitely a part of the overall effect. I also totally agree, Nolan, that we do lots and lots of medical decks. And because a medical talk is generally more often a conversation where they're just flitting back and forth between slides, it's the one area where I think that it's kind of allowable to say, oh, no, that data was, and go click, 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 you know, back six slides really quick. Transitions will slow that down. We generally add a 0.25, a quarter of a second fade transition, because it just takes a little bit of that hard edge off. Gives it a little bit of professional elegance, but it doesn't slow things down enough. Like you're waiting for it, you're waiting for it. You can click space. So yeah, we actually do that same thing.
And of course, if the speaker had a little crib sheet of, you know, what was on every slide, they could just type in.
Yes.
If they had a keyboard.
Well, it would also be great if PowerPoint's printouts put slide numbers next to them. So you could quickly say, hey, that's slide 32, because it tells me that. So I hand number printouts all the time. Like, here's the printout, and I've hand-lettered what number they are, so you have a reference.
I just export it to Word, so they do have a slide number.
You know, that is a great idea. I should really do that. Does it still create those humongous files, though?
It does, and I have not figured out how to break the links. I have read tutorials on it. I can't do it, so I just delete all the photos, delete all the slides, and put in my own.
Okay, topic for another time.
Yes.
Because that's a good one. We'll talk about animation, not frustrations.
Is the topic, what is Word good for?
Yeah, what is Word good for?
Okay, moving on.
Back to animation.
We're talking about transitions. All right, next thing. Are there technical or system limitations to watch out for? Troy, you're probably a good one to talk about this. Or any bugs or, you know, anything which you want to avoid or just be cautious of?
Oh my goodness, the list is so long.
All right, we don't have that.
Okay, so here, I'll give a few off the top of my head. If you're running PowerPoint 2013 or earlier, there is a huge bug with long scrolling animations.
Oh,
and it definitely affects 32-bit installs of Office more than 64-bit installs. There is a really easy fix for it. It's a Windows registry hack. Yep. I'll just include, I made a whole blog post about this. It tells you step-by-step what to do. Thankfully, it's fixed in 2016. So if you're using PowerPoint 2016, any version.
Oh, they did fix it?
They basically put that registry. Yeah, it's incredibly
maybe not smooth. On the Mac.
Oh, I only know the Windows side. Yeah. You're right. I should. Yeah, I don't know. There's another, and this is, it's a limitation, but it to me, it's truly a bug. It's basically this. If you have a widescreen, you know, 16:9 presentation, if you have an image sitting off to the side and you want to scroll it in, so assuming you get past the long jittery scrolling effect, PowerPoint will only recognize, I believe it's 1.5 times the width of the slide. So if you have an image that's the equivalent of 2 slides wide, and it's just like a moving background, mm-hmm. PowerPoint will cut off when it gets to 1.5 times
right.
the slide width. And it's, mm-hmm. again, that is a bug. PowerPoint calls it a limitation. I call it a bug because there's a cutoff point and it shouldn't be there.
But it won't do that for like a text box, right? Just an
not
image?
You're right. You know, because you can have a text box be huge, like the right. scrolling Star Wars, you know, effect.
Right.
It's images, definitely image based, and it has more to do with the pixel count than anything. Mm. You know, the really big difference is, I mean, there's PowerPoint coding bugs and limitations, but the really biggest issue is really computer capabilities. What I develop on a computer with 32 gigs of RAM and a video card with 8 gigs of dedicated memory and everything optimized and will play back perfectly great for the show. And then the presenter gets it. He hands it off to somebody in marketing who hands it off to somebody and they want to run the exact same slide on their, you know, shared memory, ultralight tablet size computer laptopy thing. It just doesn't have the horsepower to compute right. that many moving components a lot of times. So
yeah, that's a good point.
What do you think? I mean, obviously the scrolling bug you've encountered, it sounds like Nolan.
Yeah, I encountered that like 6 months ago because I thought it had been fixed years ago. But anyway, I everything you said about, you know, processing power, but I would also just point out, be careful of doing any sort of animation which will make the slide harder to understand in layout mode or in print. And a good example of this is something a designer sent to me the other, you know, a few months ago. And I was dumbfounded. I was like, where's the content? What did you do? What he did, he wanted to animate things in over a white background, but instead of animating them or figuring out something, he pasted white boxes over the content and then disappeared yeah. those out. Mm-hmm. So I brought it up in layout mode. I'm like, where's the content? And so, I mean, is that a valid way of doing it? Sure, but it's just too confusing.
That's kind of what we did for that whole Board of Education thing I was talking about earlier. If you look at it unless you print in black and white, you don't see the content. Again, limitations of the program, which I count as bugs, because
and, you know, one thing we I remember having to do some things like that to get certain effects years ago, and in those cases what we actually did was we would take a screenshot of the slide the way it should look as a JPEG, or you know, save it out as a JPEG and then paste that over all the complicated layered animation and animate that out immediately. So that was, if somebody did print it, they could see it, but all this weird animation was happening under literally underneath.
That's an awesome idea. I wish I would have thought of that years ago. Wow.
Back to my animation days.
Something that really bothers me, I guess you could call it a bug, Troy, but really it's just poor interface design. That is the animation tab. The interface there is awful.
Oh.
So for example, let's say you have an animation applied, fade, for example, to an object, and you want it to grow and shrink. So you start with the fade animation, you go to what makes sense, you go to the animation group and you click on grow shrink,
thinking you're going to add a second animation.
Exactly.
But
it replaces your original fade entrance. So instead, we need to remember to add.
You need to remember control Z, undo is your friend.
Exactly. And go to
Save
the
often.
Advanced Animation Group and add animate. You have to add animation there. It's a very obvious button in the
Well, it's a legacy change. PowerPoint didn't used to work that way. They changed it.
It's
here's my thought. I definitely say yes to what you're saying, and I definitely say that the entire animation interface needs a complete overhaul. Because of this, because it's just not a great, what it can do is great. The way it's implemented now, not so great.
And again, to talk about Mac, and interfaces, the Mac still does not have animation timeline, which is one of the key features, you know, when you're doing any heavy animation.
Wait, I don't think the PC has animation timeline, does it?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah, well, it does.
No,
we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Well, actually, you know, I think. So, what would you like to see for animation in the future?
There you
and obviously,
go.
Nolan's Troy, answer
like,
is
no. I would like Nolan's to see animation timeline.
Yeah, the same thing. So, if you use the old version, like let's go back to PowerPoint 2003. It used to come up with an animation pane, but it wouldn't show you the timeline. You had to click Advanced Show Advanced Animation Pane. Now. Again, this is just kind of leading to my, I think we need a complete overhaul of the animation interface to make it functional and understandable. But so when you click on animation, the animation pane doesn't open up because you can do most everything from the ribbon. But if you want to see the animation pane and see how long the timings are and stuff, you have to click animation pane to open or close that little pane. The Mac doesn't have it, which I'm kind of really baffled by. Keynote doesn't, by the way. Keynote has never had a visual animation pane, and that just still bugs the heck out of me.
Yeah, Keynote. Speaking of Keynote, they used to have a great transition I loved and used called Blur, and it was like it sounds. You instead of fading from one slide to the other, there'd be this like slight blur between them, and they got rid of it like years ago. I think it's still kind of supported if you still have a slide that has it.
Oh,
but it was
really?
Just a nice sort of different thing, and that's what I used all the time until they killed it, and PowerPoint has never had it.
No, they use Fade, but it's a little different.
Well, do you know what I was talking about? I was talking about the animation playback from a certain point.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
And oh, is that gone?
We've never had it. It's there, but it does not work. It's a feature that was added a couple of years ago, and it does not work. You cannot pick an animation point and play from there. You have to run through the entire animation sequence.
It does exactly what it was designed to, which is stupid.
Yeah.
No, what it does, if you have an animation pane open, so first of all, you have to have the animation pane open to make use of it. If you click it like animation number 8 out of 12, like, okay, I just want to see what happens from here to the end to make sure things work. When you click it, the little play button changes to that from play to play from. Like, great, this is what I want to do. I want to play it from here. When you click it, all it does is it doesn't animate all the first stuff, and you have to wait. If that animation is 4 seconds in, you just sit there staring at the screen for 4 seconds, and then it does something. But the other things haven't animated, so it doesn't really matter.
It's ridiculous.
So it does actually what it says it would do. It's just a horrible implementation of the idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think there's an amazing opportunity to update the interface.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, you're kind of the king of add-ins. Do you have any add-ins that you use?
Let's start with anybody else, because I could go on about
add-ins. I don't. I years ago I used to use PowerPoint Extreme, which is a good set of tools, and they have a plugin that comes with a number of pre-made layered or simultaneous animations, and then also the ability to create an animation library. So you could, let's say, layer 3 different animations and say, this is how I want everything applying, you know, coming in. And you can save that, then easily apply it to other things. But I don't use or even know of too many other animation add-ins.
There's not a lot out there for animation. I am a huge add-in user because I think they simplify and speed up production time. I was a huge user of the PPT Extreme add-ins, the PowerPoint add-ins.
That's what I remember about.
Yeah, and they here's the deal. I actually got to work on a lot of projects several years back. With the guy who codes them. He is a great guy, and he is a true presentation designer, show site guy. He knows what needs to be done. And I pretty much lived by those add-ins to accomplish literally in an hour what would take an hour in a couple of minutes. They are great. That ability to add an animation library, phenomenal when you're doing these huge animated events. But they kind of stopped working with the move to PPTX format. It took PPT Extreme a couple of years to get things together. They're completely recoded now, and they work, again, great. I was actually asked to be on the beta test team. I found them awesome again. Some of the new tools are awesome. So it's not just animation. The productivity, production design add-in portion of it is great. But what happened is in that lag, I just found other companies that kind of filled the gaps and did almost everything that was there, plus more. So
okay.
I guess I'd say we're not using it at TLC Creative because they're pretty expensive, but they're worth every penny if you use them. I just have a large design team now, and we all want to use the same thing. So from a financial standpoint, we didn't move forward with PPT Extreme. But if you do animations, they're kind of like really the only thing out there that does a really, really amazing job of adding stuff. All the production tools are there, but I think you can replace most of them. I will say what we just said a moment ago is go to Tools 2. It's Tools with the T-O-O at the end, so Tools 2. I'm running the beta version of the brand new release, and it has actually, I think, of the 8 new improvements, 6 of them are animation-oriented. I can't say with confidence how they work because I just got it. I haven't used them a whole lot, but that's one of the few guys out there. There's another one out there called Animation Carbon. It was very, very similar to the PPT Extreme animation one. I'm not sure if it still functions. There's just not a lot out there.
We'll put these links in the...
Yeah, we will. We will. Animation is one area where I think the interface has gotten so convoluted that a lot of the coders have just kind of said, we can't support it because nobody can figure out what's going on. So we have a really good library of preset animations that we pick up from, using the Animation Painter. And, we carry over a lot of the effects that way. It's probably the most efficient way to do it. And everybody's got to build up their own personal library because I can't share mine.
Well, I should remind everyone.
Sure you can.
There is.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? But don't
forget. Copyrighted.
You guys.
God said.
Don't forget about Animation Painter.
Oh, it's the best tool out there. That is cool.
Yes, it's built in, comes with PowerPoint. It used to be that we'd have to add it to we'd have to customize our ribbon or our QAT, but now it is in the Animation tab. And basically, once you've created an animation on one object, you can use that painter to apply it to one or more objects.
It's cool. It is probably one of the better animation additions to the tool set because it overcomes a lot of that, hey, I'm going to delete all your animations when you pick this one because you didn't know how to use the new interface. Mm-hmm. And I say new like it's new. It's really been around since 2007 now.
Right.
I think if we're good, I mean, we could talk about everything animation. There's so many more things, but animation, motion effects, dynamic content, whatever you use to describe kind of moving static content around on a slide is a cornerstone of PowerPoint. Everyone uses animation differently, and the variety of projects that use animation is just as different. There's just so many different uses and applications for it. I feel that one of the best strengths of PowerPoint as a main application used by so many people is its flexibility to be used literally 1,000 different ways for 1,000 different projects. And leveraging animation in PowerPoint, it's one of the key things that I've used to distinguish our design services, something I'm really grateful to have had implemented in a program from such an early phase. I think there's definitely a good future for it to continue to improve and expand. And it's used by all levels of users. Hopefully, everyone kind of listening in had enjoyed the fun conversation, came away with some tips and suggestions for their next project, and if nothing else, knows how I use the word amazing. Okay, so we're going to simplify things down a bit here. We're going to just basically call our end segment here presentation pro tips and tech tips. So we each just get to pick something cool. It could be for presentation design. It could just be a cool new gadget. And I will let Sandy lead us off.
Sure. I'm going to start with how we can keep the selection pane handy. I don't know if you've used it or not, but that selection pane is an awesome feature on the home tab. How you can use it is to... Now we can name the objects on a slide. It's kind of hard to get to. You have to click on the home tab. It's hard to find. It's on the far right of the tab. Instead of clicking the more arrow on selection and then finding selection pane, once you've got it open, all you need to do is literally click it and drag it off to the left, and you always have it there during that PowerPoint session.
Wait, are you detaching it or are you putting it on the left-hand side?
Oh, no, okay. I'm detaching it so it's floating. I can move it out of the way if I want to, but at least it stays there and I can always see. Let's say I move from selection pane to animation. By default, both panes will stay open, right? But I don't want both panes open because that eats into my slide space. So it's a nice way to detach it.
That's really cool. So I got two things. I'm just going to tag on to yours just because it's really cool. You know, I'm going to talk about panes anyways. But the two things are, one, on my QAT, I added a selection pane button just because it takes too long to go find it. So I actually have a button on my QAT that turns on and off the selection pane. The other thing that I thought you were going to say is that you can actually take it and move it to the left-hand side. I a lot of times will put the selection pane to the far left of the little thumbnail strip. I don't think you can put it to the right. Maybe that's why. So I end up with the selection pane on the far left and the animation pane on the right.
Okay.
And the other thing to note is that when you change a name in the selection pane, it changes the name in the animation pane.
That's right.
So if you've got 10 boxes, you can name each box. So you know this is the red one, this is the or people's faces. You put the name of the people's face in there. I mean, PowerPoint used to do that automatically. If you had photos with each person's name, it would show you in the animation pane and what would be the selection pane, the name
of the file,
of the photo based on the file name. But they've gotten rid of that, I'm sure, due to legality and privacy. And now you got to go and retype them all yourself.
Well, I think that is even better than mine because then it's out of the way. It's always on the left side. Another added feature to that is there are little eye icons next to each element in the pane, and you can click on those just like in Photoshop and hide it. Hide as many as you want, especially if you have a lot of layers, and that will allow you to concentrate on a specific area.
Yes. So I'm going to continue with the pane thing then as my presentation tip, and that's the advanced animation pane. That's now just called the animation pane. And that is when you go to animation, a lot of times you just see the ribbon at the top, but you're not seeing the advanced timeline of what's going on. So click the little animation pane. Pane pops up on the right-hand side, and you can expand that. And I personally live by it because I can visually see what's going on a slide by seeing how long animations are, what order they happen in. You can rearrange them. You can change the duration of them. If they're all with previous, they don't have to stack. You can basically make them out of order. But here's my tip on the ripping it up, detaching it, undocking it, is that for a very complex slide, I'll actually undock it, just like you said for the selection pane, Sandy, and I'll move it to my secondary monitor, and that way I can make it taller and wider so I can see much more information than the little thin strip, and I don't have to keep scrolling back and forth within the little animation pane. So I make it huge without making my edit area small. So there's my tip.
I like it.
So my tip is also an animation one, something we actually didn't touch on, but it's Animate Background, and this is an only on the Mac feature, which is rare. But if you take a photo and just throw it on a slide and then go to under Picture Format, actually, not animation, but you go to Picture Format, way on the right is a button called Animate as Background. Click that, and then you get a little pop-up where you can indicate points on that image where you want the image to sort of move. And what this does is in slideshow mode, it will then create a Ken Burns effect. So if you have like these, cool background sunset photos or whatever, and you don't even have to make it full screen to begin with, you just put a photo in whatever size it is. Once you hit the animated background, it will make it full size and will crop it appropriately to the page. So then you'll have sort of this subtle moving background behind your content.
Nice.
And I wouldn't suggest overusing this one, but if you've got, name slides or, just you need some sort of background, going on behind you, it's a nice sort of auto animation that will apply it all for you.
We could have included that in the news section because it's still a new feature and so few people have even seen it. That's cool. Thank you.
And again, only 2016. Office 365.
Only Mac.
Only Mac, but It should be on PC soon enough, I assume.
Can it be animated across slides?
No.
Okay.
what are you, crazy?
Yeah, that's on my big ask, animation across slides.
I know. Okay.
Yeah, the term across slides doesn't come up very often.
No.
In the development offices.
This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, a design studio team focused on presentation design. If you're looking for presentation messaging and design, show site graphics ops that are real presentation designers, check us out at www.tlccreative.com and my blog, thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog once it's back online, which it hopefully should be by the time you hear this. And there's lots of free stuff you can get there, downloads. And if you need on-site training, presentation, or data visualization, give me a holler.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website at presentationwhiz.biz, my blog at pptwhizblog, and the Presentation Guild website at presentationguild.org, or just search for Sandra Johnson PowerPoint in your web browser and you'll learn all kinds of things about me.
For episode show notes, links, and more from this episode, visit us at our website, www.thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. You can contact us with episode suggestions, questions for our hosts, or comments through our website. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website for additional options. If you like the podcast, rate us on iTunes. Stars and reviews are greatly appreciated. Look for new episodes the first and third Tuesday of each month.